I think are so impossible and impenetrable that when gates open up, the King of Glory comes in and he says, I'm gonna address vengeance on your enemies. Your enemies are my enemies because I'm a covenant partner with you. And when you open up that gate for praise to come in, you are telling me that you trust me explicitly. Isn't that great? Isn't that what you came to church for this morning? Come on. Isn't that why you came, gave up a Sunday morning, got out of bed, said, had a quick breakfast, rushed through the traffic, got to a place so that you could just enjoy the presence of God and be encountered with a word of encouragement? Thanks to those who came and brought prophetic words and songs this morning. We can't release everybody every Sunday, but isn't that a great thing that there's a steady flow of life happening as the words and the gifts of the Spirit? You know, that's normal Christianity. That's just normal Christianity. Jesus came to demonstrate what normal Christianity was. And he flowed with words of knowledge and flowed with healings and flowed with wisdom, not to show us how clever he was coming from heaven, but to show us how a man in right relationship with God, say that with me, a man in right relationship with God, or woman, sorry, I say man, you know what I mean by now, a person, when they are in right standing, which is accomplished through grace and which we hopefully have got cemented in our lives, where we feel qualified. Do you feel qualified? You should feel qualified for the presence of God. Or else you've got to rewind the tapes 4 years back and listen to them all over again. We're not going to get time to do that in this house probably for a while. But you need to know that you're qualified by what Jesus achieved. But that to be qualified means you could receive the Holy Spirit. And when you received the Holy Spirit, you got an unfair advantage. The Holy Spirit wants to come alongside God within the hope of glory. You know how stunning that concept is? This slab of flesh cannot contain the Holy Spirit. But inside my life, there's a place called my spirit. And when my spirit's made alive, it's like it's an aerial that picks up a frequency. You know that there's like radio waves and TV waves flashing through here this morning. You can't see them. You're not aware of them. But when you put the right aerial up, when you were born again, you received the capacity to connect with the Holy Spirit. You became a temple. You became somebody who could now receive signals from the headquarters. And when you receive those signals, they're not just to make us more religious and give us more information. They so that we can step out and do things we've never done before. God is in the business of changing the way you think. And that comes by revelation. It doesn't come by seeking to discover. You know, some things you can go and discover. But the voice of the Holy Spirit, revelation and the understanding, visions, dreams, that stuff gets revealed to you. Now you're sitting there thinking, okay, we were singing a few moments ago, and are you into your sermon or what are you doing? I don't know. But I do know God is changing some ways of thinking here. And he's just assuring you again of his presence. If you're born again, you have the capacity to think differently, to have your spirit in tune with God Almighty. Let me tell you, that is an awesome relationship. That's not form of religion without power. That's not just ritual without life. That's the real deal, is knowing when you are connected to the Holy Spirit in a relationship of receiving those signals, getting those thoughts, dreaming, getting dreams from him of things that seem to be impossible, wants to carry out. Is that okay? Most of our lives, I think we do what could be just done by us. Let's be honest. Most of what we do here on a Sunday morning could probably be done just by us with a program and fancy songs and a few other things. And then someone gets up and tells some catchy jokes and a nice motivational speaker, and we all go home feeling pepped up. The Holy Spirit doesn't even have to be present for that. But when it comes to things that are impossible, the Holy Spirit has to be there. 95% of what the early church did could not be done without the power of the Holy Spirit. Billy Graham has suggested that 95% of what the church does today could be done without the Holy Spirit. That is a frightening thought. So maybe your dreams feel too big for you. Good. Maybe your desires and goals feel like it's just too much. It's overwhelming. Like I shared a bit last week, what's going on in my own spirit at the moment about transforming this community. It feels like I don't want to try and do it in my strength and start some programs. If this is God, it's got to be God. It's got to be begun by God and finished by God. I am a vessel. You are a vessel for your desires. But you're going to have to make some adjustments in your life. You got it? Say adjustments. There's some adjustments you need to make of your time, your treasure, your talent to facilitate being a channel of God. Amen? Isn't this wonderful? I'll add another one to that this week. Keep a journal where you write these things down, because we forget so quickly. When God starts formulating a desire, make sure you write it down on your phone, on your pad, on your pen and paper. Keep writing it down, because that will remind you in darkness what He said in light. That will remind you when you're going through hardship what God has spoken to you. And yes, it adjusts, and God breathes vision and wisdom through His word, through the ministry. But we, by writing it down, we keep holding it up before God, and we keep reminding ourselves. So that's not a bad thing. So all this I'm talking about is relationship. While we're going about all these things that we've just mentioned, we're not on a journey to a destination called relationship with God. You are in a journey of relationship with God. It's either a good one or it's not a good one. This year, my prayer for you, Father, would you cause your presence to become so tangible in your life that every one of us will begin to pray that, God, would you impact me this year with a passion for your presence like I've never had before? God, would you give me a love for your word that in the midst of colorful displays of bringing your word to life, I will not lose that capacity to draw life out of your word, Lord. That this year, you'll open my eyes to new things I've never seen before. That you will begin changing my mind about things that I thought was impossible. That you will change my mind about what is available to the sons and daughters in the church. That you, Lord, will begin to give me a heart for this generation in this time. And remind me that you didn't just place me here for my own benefit, to be able to get up, eat, process food, go to work, sleep 7-6 days a week, week after week, month after month, but that you have strategically put me in your purpose for this planet at such a time as this. God, would you cause your presence to so overwhelm me this year that I'll be satisfied with nothing less. And my family will come second to your presence. My career will come second to your presence and your relationship. My ministry will come second to your presence and your relationship with you. And God, let your glory fill the earth. On earth, match up to as you see it in heaven. I pray for you right now that God will take scales off your eyes, that you will get a new perspective right now. A new perspective. You will no longer just be seeing led by the sensations of the visible world, but you're going to become very aware of what's taking place in the spirit realm right now. As we heard this morning, that prophetic picture of the angels and the butterflies, it's exactly what happened to Jacob. He was lying there dreaming, and the next minute he sensed this open doorway, this portal, this gate of between heaven and earth, and that's where God dwells, in the house of God. Jesus came to make it accessible to every one of us. And as New Testament believers, we can either choose to live in the realm of limitation, and we can keep on bringing the supernatural down to my experience, or we can have our eyes opened so we can begin to see from His perspective. God, would you give us a new perspective? God, would you take scales off our eyes that are limited to natural thinking, human wisdom, intellectual understanding? Would you cause the antenna that's connected to the Holy Spirit to be shaken this morning in this place, to be stirred up in my life today, that I'll leave here just knowing that's the voice, that's the intuition, that's the desire, that's the dream. Even your physical body will start picking up the signals of what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. And I used to find that strange when I heard about people saying, my right hand is tingling. Who needs prayer? All they were saying was, my physical body is sensing something that's happening in the atmosphere. Back to Jacob's story with the ladder. He said, God was in this place and I didn't even know it. There's a lot of people, God is in the place and they don't even know it. And somebody's got to feel something sometimes. Somebody's got to tingle physically as a stimulus to get them moving in a certain direction. Now, it doesn't always happen that way. God sometimes just floods your emotions. Sometimes He just puts mental pictures and thoughts. Scripture and prophetic words suddenly come to memory. But He doesn't download all that so that we just got more information to win the next argument. He's downloading all that information so that we can step out. Say, step out. So we can step out. There's some things, the understanding only comes when we enter the experience. Say that after me. The understanding follows the experience. Now, I'm talking about the understanding that comes by the Holy Spirit now. Those intuitions, those thoughts, those feelings, those emotions. So, at one level, I can know that God is good and wants to someone to be born again. But I will only have the full understanding of that revelation when I get to pray and lead that person to Christ. I can have all the theory and knowledge about blood covenants and all that stuff, but when I step out and pray for the sick and put my hands on them, it's the experience that informs my understanding, not always the other way around. I can know everything about the gifts of the Spirit and enjoy people coming up and sharing and hearing this one had a word of knowledge and hearing someone's testimony that comes up. All that can be going on and I can be growing in knowledge, but if the experience isn't growing, I'll never get understanding until I open my mouth and get used by God, until I learn how to enter into praise and worship. Let me tell you, this morning was an opportunity for all of us. Without anyone looking around and noticing who was and who wasn't, but you had the best opportunity this morning to open a gate of praise. I could stand here and give you 30 sermons on how important praise is, but when you get that opportunity, when God says, there, go, someone needs a word. There, go, someone's sick, pray for them. There, go, sow into that situation. You can know all the theory about sowing and reaping and have enough head knowledge to sink the Titanic. But when you put your hand in your pocket out of the leading of God and you say, now my experience is going to inform my understanding, See, this is a very different kind of Christianity. This is a radical Christianity. This is a reformation going on. Because most of Bible schools and Bible colleges and theological universities, and trust me, I've tried some of them out, it's the other way. It's knowledge, understanding, experience. Sometimes you don't even understand what you're doing. You know God has led you. I'm not talking about being stupid, yeah. There's some things we've got to get counsel and there's wisdom and it must line up with basic principles. But I'm talking about just risk takers. Risk takers who say, I don't fully understand what I'm about to do. God told me to go and pray for this person or give something to this person or ask to lead this person to the Lord or go and visit this, take a person a cake, wash his car. I don't understand. It's not working here, but while you're doing it, I don't understand why we all now got to stand on our chairs and clap our hands and shout and make a big noise in the church. But while you're doing it, I feel like I'm preaching here this morning. While you're doing it, something comes of understanding. God's changing your mind. He's changing our minds. This is the relationship that we're talking about. This is the relationship we should desire. This is the relationship for you and me. And no, I'm not going to get to those notes, but I do feel like somebody's mind has been changed here today. Hey, congratulations, guys. Is this your first Sunday in church? Sam and Ryan, stand up. New weds in the church. Aren't they beautiful? Come on. Nice to see you guys. And the Govinders. Govinders, right. Eh? I got the surname right. Mutu and your dear wife, Lily. Don't you want to stand up? Mutu's the pastor that went to India, planted a church in the Punjab. You remember last year we prayed with them, sent them off, had a one. I've been getting some feedback. He's in transition at the moment, trying to get back to India. And we're going to be talking about what's happening the rest of the year. We've been across there, and we'll see how that works out. Bless you guys. Lord, just increase your presence upon Mutu. Why don't you just reach out your hands? Bill, do you want to come pray, Terry? Lord, we just thank you for this dear couple who've said, here am I, send me. I will step into the experience that brings the understanding. I don't know what I'm doing. It feels too big for me. 1.2 billion people seems incomprehensible. But God, not here am I, send Bill, but here am I, send me. Lord, you've heard the cries of their heart. You've seen the desires. Lord, we just pray for a great peace to come upon them now as a family, both for their children, for Lillian, for Mutu right now, just that peace that comes. Bless you guys, man. Bless you guys. Who, while I'm speaking here this morning, is just saying, we've got some babies here. We've got more babies here. Hey, Ryan, Kerry, we've really wished you guys, but nice to see you. I think, is Robbie and Janine also here this morning? Their brand new baby, theirs. See, that's a bag row of babies. You know, it's like, congrats, guys. Great, no ways. Oh, the boy, Graham, stand up. Yo! Is this guy going to make a good dad or what? Is an anointing for women to fall pregnant right now? What's that? Okay, I get your point. I didn't mean to stick to this point of experience and understanding. This morning, I want to give you another opportunity. We're going to take up the offering now. And I know many people give by internet. And I know there's some cynical thoughts going on right now about the reason I did all this was to get to this point. Well, God knows my heart, and that's not true. But I want to give you an opportunity that in your giving this morning, I want you to be able to say, the understanding is going to come by my experience. And you might not have anything physically in your pockets. I think I'm lucky I do. I think I got a few bucks here. So here's something for you. Who else doesn't have anything? Who doesn't have any cash on them? Yeah, right here. Do you have cash? Roger, yeah. Do you have any cash? Anybody doesn't have any cash and they want to sow this morning into the offering? You got cash. That's awesome. Oh, here's a lady over here. Okay, I'm watching you, eh? I'm just catching you. I want to give you an opportunity. You know, finances is one of those areas. It's like praise and worship, like praying for the sick. The joy of it comes after the acting of it. I don't understand that. Because I'm on this side of giving, and there's more month than salary, there's no joy. But somehow, when that money left my hand to you now, I felt joy come on me. What's your name? Jenny. Porsche. I just felt like, oh, some joy came on me. And I know there's many other areas. I'm just doing that now because we're taking up the offering. But I believe there's some areas in your Christian life you've not seen. You've got head knowledge, but there's no understanding. You know what that is. Can I pray for you? That God's going to give you an opportunity for an experience. To do something. Say, I'm going to do something. If that's you, just stand to your feet. I want to pray for you right now, just where you are. If you're saying, this understanding I need to get with regard to this situation is going to come by an experience. And I want to pray that God's going to give me an opportunity for that experience very soon. Stand to your feet right now. Lord, I just thank you that I'm standing included with these people because there's some areas I don't have understanding. But I'm going to, in childlike faith, when I step out on it, I'm going to believe the understanding will unfold in the acting, doing, putting it into practice. So, Lord, you know every person here, what they're standing for. If that's some area of breakthrough, whether that's in the area of the spiritual stuff, like the gifts and worship and praise, and or in more natural things like family and finances and work. I don't know what it is, Lord, but I thank you that there's an anointing on this word right now to bring your kingdom to bear into their situation. An opportunity is knocking on your door right now. An opportunity is it's in the post. It's coming through the channels. In Jesus' name. As you take your seats, can the guys taking up the offering come up? Is Peter Block here this morning? I felt I had a word for him, but I don't see him. Just while they're standing up here, I'm going to hold you here for about a second or two. No, we can do two things at once. Amen. Let's take up the... you need the bags first. When you came in this morning, did you receive the notices? Now, there's a reason we hand out the notices at the door there. It's so that you get to know what's going on in the church. But if every one of these people comes up and speaks for 3 minutes... That's 20 minutes of our worship time. So I want to ask that any announcements and notices and family information comes through the office onto the notices. And would you please read your notices? If you want to know what's going on, can I save you 20 minutes of people getting up here and talking these things through? Can I do that? Can I save you those 20 minutes? So what's on here, we have endorsed and we've vetoed. There was something they didn't get on here that I need to mention. There's a men's weekend away Terry and the prayer guys are going away next weekend. It's a Saturday, the 27th, 28th. Any guys want to go away for that time down up the north coast with the mana in the church? Speak to Terry after the service. And what we didn't get on the notices this morning, but you can pick it up if you want to when you leave, and we'll put it on next week, is feedback on the survey we did over the last few weeks. If you're in the church, the last few weeks we did a survey, what they've done is each topic has got a percentage. And interestingly enough, who wants to know what of the teaching? Remember we had three areas, teaching, worship, fellowship. And then, should we do this? And thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for generosity and for those giving. Be blessed. Okay. Thank you. Interestingly, this showed a whole lot of topics in teaching, worship, and fellowship, and then some ideas of when those teachings could happen, who would be able to get to certain teaching evenings when those teachings were done. So we've compiled this. Who wants to know what the top subject came out at? The Father Heart of God. 28% people saying, ticking that as their first priority. Isn't that wonderful? Ooh, I believe that warms the Father Heart. Grace came a bit under that, and someone said, oh, why did grace only get like 18%? I said, well, maybe people are getting an understanding of grace, which is a good thing. The next highest one was the activation of the supernatural. That was what the leaders, when we went away at the beginning of the year, that was what was stirring in my heart and our hearts. And that kind of came from here. The meeting place, I mean, obviously most people come in the morning, but people said the Sunday night 5 o'clock service, 70% of those who filled out the form said if one of these teachings that they would benefit or would like to hear taught, was taught, that 70% said they'd be willing to come to the 5 o'clock service. Isn't that interesting? 5 to 6.30, because you know we've made it earlier. Jen? Earlier. 5 to 6.30. And last Sunday night, there was a good crowd here. I mean, probably 3-4 times more than what we usually have on a Sunday night. And the guys really loved it. We're going through these teachings that are on the notices, the Sunday night Bible teachings, Andrew Womack, and it was outstanding. So come along, 5 to 6.30. They're the topics on the notices. So the one other thing that was interesting came out of here, okay, that was under teaching, under worship. Clearly, we are a house of worship. I mean, 54% of people just say they love an hour of uninterrupted praise and worship. Isn't that good? There's been a culture of worship in this house ever since I've been here, and I'm so glad it's still here. And although leaders and teams have come and gone, there's something of God's fragrance on the worship and the praise. I praise God for that. We're very blessed. I was chatting to Davey Betts, who oversees the praise and worship in the church, and he was just saying he's been around to a lot of churches and not found somewhere where they have this kind of freedom in their praise and worship. That's a compliment. And I know there's a few people recently who feel they've got to leave this church because we're not open to the Holy Spirit anymore. I think they're going to find it hard to find a church that are as open as this church. I say that in love. I say it in all honesty. I hope they realize that and come back. But we've got to be careful what we say about that. That was under worship. Oh, and a whole bunch of people wanting to learn how to play instruments. 31% of those who filled out this form said they'd love to learn to play a musical instrument. Guitar, bass, keyboards, drums, vocals, sound. Please, if that's you, say to me, if that's me, Dave, Betts, and Josh will be up here. They can get your phone number and get back to you if that's one of you. If you're that person, Okay, so that's teaching, worship, and then the last one was fellowship. Very interesting. The top priority that came out here was a family camp. I thought camps were like over. I thought people have done the camp thing, been there. I thought, no, men like camps, women, children, you know, homogeneously divided camps. Not a family camp. And it got like 39%. That's like a couple of hundred people there. So I don't know who's got the vision, who's got the job. Who'd like to go and investigate that? What a Skocham family camp could look like. Not Skocham. Okay, that's why I should stay out of this. And anybody except Terry, put your hand up. Terry, there's nothing in the church that Terry's not involved in. And I want to be gracious to his wife. Thanks for offering, Terry. But if seriously, if there's anybody else who's saying, I'd like to investigate a place and a program and what a family camp could look like, please knock yourself out. Come on. That man's got the job. That man's got the, okay. But seriously, so, all right. Everybody happy. Now, I left the notices to the end. Not on purpose. But at 9 o'clock in the morning, half of you aren't here. Take that smug look off your face. You know I'm talking about you. So at 9 o'clock in the morning, we can't do anything like this because you're not here. Would you please get here at 9 o'clock? If I was meeting you for coffee and I said, let's meet at 2, and then I arrive at 10 past 2, what does that communicate? Not very important. Come on now. This is gathering of God's people to worship the King, and we need to be here at 8:45 in the morning to get ready and prepared. Come on, let's set an example. There's a whole lot of people hiding their faces. I don't know why. Okay, so that's the notices. Everybody happy? Let's stand up one last time. Lord, thank you for this time together. What do you want to say, Dave?
Folks, just Steve won't put this in the notices. He won't even mention it. But we all know he's been studying the last couple of years. He's been doing a master's degree theologically in theology and Greek and all these things that I admire him studying. And the process is to put your thesis in, and your thesis gets vetted and marked and examined, and then you get awarded if you've succeeded. And this week, Steve was advised his thesis was a great success. A lot of compliments about it, and he now has his master's degree in theology.
Thanks, Dave. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And feel free to buy me a cappuccino. Have an awesome week. God bless you. More presents. This is going to be an outstanding year, church. Come on. Be blessed. Bring your testimonies. Let's hear what God is doing. Amen.